This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass on Joy 94.9. Macca.
On the line, we have a regular commentator for us on the show, Toby Halligan. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning, gents. Good morning. How are you? I hope you're both doing fabulously well.
There we are. We're both doing very well. I can see the blue sky beginning to peek through and the sun's beginning to pour through our windows. It is lovely.
It is. It's lovely. Now, really quickly, Toby, can I have a banjo report, please?
Well, you are going to be delighted to know, Macca, and your listeners will be delighted to know. Obviously, they can't see it, but we've purchased some more hound tees for banjo. Now, we don't receive any money for promoting hound tees, to be clear, but this one's pink and it's got penguins on it. And wow. It's a very dignified look for him.
Well, you'll have to take a picture, Toby, and send it to the SatMag Twitter.
I will. I absolutely will. No, he looks fabulous.
Tass is turning his nose.
It sounds like you two need to take your dogs for a walk.
Yeah, Tass. You know, when Tass and Ian came for lunch last Sunday, Toby, you like this. Patch was on the couch, and Tass comes through the door and he goes, "Oh, hello, dog." Hello, dog.
Well, I was trying to be inclusive, Macca. It's not like talking to a human being, really.
Yeah, whereas I think Macca and I and any people with dogs in their lives will relate to this. For us, we it'd more be hello God, yeah. You know, hello God of our lives, hello, yes. What can we get for you?
Look, I do get and I accept that you know, your dogs are an extension of your families and in some respects your personalities as well.
He's slagging us off, Toby.
No, I'm not slagging you off. I'm just acknowledging the reality. It's not me.
Okay. Yeah, and that's fair enough, and that's good to acknowledge that. And I'm happy for a greyhound to be an extension of my personality. I mean, I've never thought of myself as quite as lean and muscular, but I am probably as needy. So, you know, yeah.
Okay, now, Toby, we want to talk about Morrison Dyer playing.
Yes.
What are your reflections? What are your reflections on this? What is this really all about?
Well, so one observation I'd make is that the Prime Minister has an extensive background in advertising. I mean, you can even see, I should credit my husband Tom with this observation. If you look at the labelling of his big programs, you know, you've got job seeker, job keeper, job maker. If you replace the word job with light, you could be in like a fantasy novel. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about the sorts of swords. Like, he likes creating these simple narratives. And, look, to his credit, during some of the coronavirus management, he has been willing to get over the coalition's historic loathing of unions and organisations that like supporting workers, which recently, you may recall, the Ensuring Integrity Bill that was very clearly designed to just really destroy the unions. He's removed that from the table. And on Tuesday at the National Press Club, he was talking about recreating the process of the 1980s that was called the Accords. I don't know whether it's worth giving listeners any kind of, a very short history of what they were or whether you think they'd already be aware of what happened during the Accords.
Just give us a bullet point.
So basically, Australia was in a massive recession because of stagflation, whereby effectively you have your economy, you know, in a big recession, and you've got inflation going up, and that reflected wages continuing to rise. So it meant that a unique economic approach was required. So Bob Hawke and the Labor government of that period basically got employers into the room and got the ACTU in the room. Mick Keelty was then the ACTU leader, and they reached this series of agreements Bill Keelty, I beg your pardon. Yeah, Bill Keelty. So instead of wages continuing to increase, what they would do is they would create a series of social policies like Medicare, like superannuation, that would deliver outcomes for workers and for the Australian economy without necessarily contributing to inflation, because lots of money was going into the economy as jobs were created, thus stopping stagflation. I think, though, it's fair to say we're not, I think, in an environment where, firstly, that's necessarily the answer. Part of the fundamental problem we have, I think, in Australia in industrial relations is that the coalition has, since the Howard era, been so, it really is, I think, a pathology. They are so hostile to unions and to pushing for an industrial relations agenda that really swings things so far in favour of employers, and in terms of them having total flexibility and the ability to do really whatever they want when it comes to workers, that it's hard to see how, unless they're willing to give up some of their commitment to that ideology, how they could actually work with the unions in an effective way.
In all fairness, I did hear Christian Porter refer to Sally McManus. Now, Christian Porter is the Attorney General, and Sally McManus is the head of the ACTU. He called her his very good friend.
Yes.
This is on the ABC. Yeah. Has something really changed?
Well, I think there have been some changes, but it's also worth noting that the same Christian Porter also did put through changes to how enterprise agreements are negotiated. Yeah. So that our employers, until recently, it would take them a week to change an enterprise agreement. Porter introduced a change that meant that there would only be one day where an employer would need to consult with their employees before they could potentially change it.
Yeah.
So there is some, I agree with you, Taz. I think there has been some rhetoric along those lines and some substance to it. But simultaneously, they have taken measures that aren't necessarily good faith measures. Like some of the substance that haven't gotten as much attention, it does, I think, suggest that there are still those instincts there. Now, I could be wrong. There could be a genuine willingness to engage in good faith with the unions, but I think Sally McManus, in response to Morrison's call on Tuesday, was that it would be hard to see how the unions would be able to participate in that process and give up, you know, really these are core ideals that they would be required to give up when it comes to, say, offering employees the kind of flexibility to move more workers to casualised contracts and the like. And it's also not clear what would the big ideas that Scott Morrison would be likely to embrace that employees could be offered instead of, say, higher wages. Do you know what I mean? Like, the coalition's, ever since Medicare was introduced, has spent a lot of time trying to kind of pull it apart. So,
in all fairness, Toby, I mean, EBAs are really very complex beasts at the moment. And, you know, any employer now almost dreads employing people because it is so complex and such a convoluted process to work your way around industrial law and industrial agreement. So, you know, there's something not quite right about the system, perhaps.
And look, go on, Toby.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Mac. I'll just be quick. I think that's totally true, Tess. I agree with that. But I also don't think the solution to that is reducing the time an employer needs to consult from 1 week to a day. But as well, the coalition has, over the last 7 years, been stacking the Fair Work Commission with basically judges that are clearly more favourable to employers, and that's actually led to quite a bit of dysfunction in that body. There's recently been quite a public spat between several senior figures in it that involved figurines in someone's office that weren't wearing many clothes. And, like, you know what I mean? It's, so you were going to speak before Macca.
Look, I have a theory on this latest idea, and it's around let's invite the unions into the tent. We actually don't like them. We don't believe that what they do is valid. We're going to invite them into the tent. We're going to have a discussion. And then when they don't agree...
you'll blame them.
They'll leave the discussion and we'll blame them. We'll be able to say, well, look, we tried to talk to them about it and they left.
It's that old trick, Mac.
Yep.
It's the old trick, you know, better than being in the tent pissing than outside pissing on the tent. And I think that's the motivation behind this, a lot of it. I'm not saying that the government is not serious about simplifying this. I actually agree that it does need some simplification, but let's look at their history. Let's look at the government's history on this. And that says to me that they're not serious.
Toby, where do you think this is going to land? If you could, you know, crystal ball gaze, not where you'd like it to land, but where do you think this is going to land in, say, 12 months' time?
I think it would be, in an ideal world, we would have a serious debate about the future of work in Australia, because levels of casualisation in Australia are hugely problematic, and they impose a huge burden on a huge number of Australian families because they don't have reliable income. And with things like automation and changes in how the economy works, we need to have a substantial discussion about the future of work and what that looks like. And I agree, Taz, with what you were saying. Some of that needs to involve simplifying the process of EBAs. And as you were saying, Macca, superficial consultation isn't really adequate. Like, we need this. We really, really genuinely need, and have needed for a long time, to have a proper conversation on how we can create an economy whereby people can have stable, reliable work and have the hope that their children will have those kinds of jobs in the future, because otherwise you get the kind of political dysfunction that you're seeing in the United States, where jobs disappear from communities permanently, and those communities are undermined in really, really profound ways. So in terms of next steps, hopefully Morrison is serious, and hopefully he actually is willing to bring employers and unions together for substantial discussions about how the system can be changed in a way that is beneficial for the groups that they respectively represent.
Thank you very much, Toby. It's always great to hear what you have to say. We've run out of time, unfortunately.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that we will actually pick this conversation up again, because it certainly does affect many of our listeners and many members of our community, and of course we're all very interested in it. Toby, enjoy the rest of your day. It's going to be sunny and lovely, so make sure you take Banjo out for a stroll.
Oh, my God, he called the dog by its name.
That's the next thing I'm going to do.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.